Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the orgia. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far, oh, oh, along the way, thou who has bowed thy mind, say, to the light, keep us forever, oh, in the past we pray.
Happy birthday, Sting. How many of you people out there have been hurt in some kind of love affair? But how many times do you swear that you'd never love again? How many lonely sleepless nights? How many lies, how many fights, and why would you want to put yourself through all that again? Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and bitter way of paying you back for all the faith you ever had in your brain. Could it be what you need the most? Could leave you feeling just like a ghost? You'll never feel so sad and lost again. One day you could be looking through an old book and rainy weather. You see a picture of her smiling at you when you were still together. You could be walking down the street and should your chance to meet. But that same old smile you've been thinking of all day. Why don't we turn the clock to zero, honey? We'll stay on the side to spend the
What are the five biggest issues facing blacks in America? Here's my list. Problem number five, the victim mentality. Nothing holds someone back more than seeing himself as a victim. Why? Because the victim is not responsible for his situation. Everything is someone else's fault. And the victim sees little chance of improving his life. How can he get ahead if someone is holding him back? All this makes the victim unhappy, frustrated, and angry. This is how too many blacks see themselves. As victims. So much so that their victim status becomes their primary identity and their ruling ideology. I call it victimology. Unfortunately, many black churches preach this victimology. Many black parents pass it on to their children. Inner city schools teach it to their students, and the black media reinforce it. Meanwhile, the NAACP and other black grievance groups fundraise on it. Problem number four, lack of diversity. Blacks repeatedly demand an honest dialogue or debate about race. But how can there ever be an honest dialogue about race between blacks and whites when there is virtually no honest dialogue between blacks and blacks? It's hypocritical. And if a black doesn't think whites are ultimately responsible for black people's problems, they're labeled a sellout, Uncle Tom, or race traitor. As long as this type of groupthink exists, race reverence of the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson type will continue to be celebrated, while independent black thinkers such as Professors Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams will be shunned. The honest race dialogue and debate that first has to happen is not between blacks and whites, but between blacks and blacks. We demand diversity from others, but need to practice it ourselves where it really matters, in thought, opinion, and even political affiliation. Problem number three, urban terrorism. As just about everyone knows, but too few talk about publicly, in majority black cities, violent black-on-black crime is rampant. A Department of Justice study from 1980 through 2008 revealed that blacks accounted for almost half of the nation's homicide victims, 47.4%, and more than half of the offenders, 52.4%, all while being 13% of America's population. The Tuskegee Institute conducted a study of all known lynchings of blacks that occurred between 1882 through 1968. During this 86-year span, which is essentially the post-Civil War era up to the Civil Rights era, 3,446 blacks were reportedly lynched. Presently, black-on-black murder eclipses the number of blacks lynched over the course of 80 years, roughly every 6 months. Unbelievably, the culpability for this disproportionate amount of mayhem actually lies with the menacing 2 to 3% minority within the black populace. I call them urban terrorists. And since they're literally spawned from problem number two, the black community protects them. Problem number two, proliferation of baby mamas. The disintegration of the nuclear family has led to an astronomical increase of single mother households. According to the Moynihan Report, in 1965, nearly 25% of black children were born to unwed mothers. The report's author, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, said this was a disaster in the making. He was, of course, vilified by so-called black leaders and their progressive allies. But he was right. Today, the out-of-wedlock birth rate is nearly 75% and even higher in some urban areas. To be clear, baby daddies share this responsibility with baby mamas. Yet, while baby daddies are blamed and rarely shown compassion, baby mamas are rarely blamed and receive both compassion and support. This lopsided dynamic and the previously listed pathologies stem directly from the number one problem facing the black community. Problem number one, unquestioning allegiance to so-called progressive policies. Unwavering loyalty to progressive liberal policies is the primary reason these dire conditions persist. It both makes them possible and perpetuates them. It's no coincidence that progressivism is the common thread that binds predominantly black cities where single-parent homes, failing schools, rampant poverty and crime predominate. Look at cities like Detroit, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. They've been run by progressive Democrats for decades. If their liberal policies were at all effective, these cities should have become models of economic growth and prosperity. Instead, they're models of dysfunction. By fostering and exploiting the victim mentality, discouraging self-examination, subsidizing baby mamas, and making excuses for black thugs, so-called progressive policies don't alleviate the problems that afflict the black community. They aggravate those problems. You may have noticed that racism did not make the list. Why not? It's simple. There will be no solution to the problems afflicting black America until more blacks recognize that the issues plaguing our community are ultimately self-inflicted. Does racism exist? Sure. But there are other problems far more serious. And waiting until there are no more races will mean waiting and making excuses forever. I'm Talib Starks for Prager University.
To subscribe to our YouTube channel, click here to help keep our videos.
Because you've never been the same as anyone else. Don't think the same as everyone else. Conclude with anyone else. Don't think the same as everyone else. I had everything, everything. I could change anything. If I changed anything, I mean anything. Ah!
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I am proud. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all know it's snow out there, right? It's not that bad. It's just that when you leave your car at the garage, it is a different thing because you got to clean it off. My poor little car. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all all right? Okay, somebody called me and said, what is that? What's going on here? Yeah. Okay, we're back, y'all. It's a day. It's for those who have not gone out. If you're in Chicago, it's kind of wet and slippery, so be careful. And the cars are a little, you know, just be careful out there because it's kind of slick out there. So don't be trying to be late and speeding because you might not make it. It's better to make it. So just be careful. I didn't even realize how much snow was up. It's not that much snow. It's just kind of wet and slick. Okay. Happy New Year to y'all. How was y'all New Year? How did y'all do? Did you go out? Did you pray? What did you do? What did you do anything? Or did you just keep your butt in the house? Or did you go see the fireworks? They had the fireworks and everything out going on in Chicago. But it was really nice. Some folks went out and some folks stayed in. Well, you know, I stay in. I don't go in. I don't go out. I stay in and I read the Bible. I got a little static. Is it my earphones the reason I got static? Okay, I don't know. Y'all got a little static here. But I'll make it through and then I get a break. Okay, we're here for the new year. We're getting ready to get started. I was watching a report, and I want to tell y'all about it in case y'all didn't see it, about the respiratory illness that's going on, and they're trying to, and it's with babies and everything else. So I want y'all to be aware of it. What's going on? It's just kind of, it's respiratory. It's people will cough, and they're trying to see out where it's coming from. And they said it really was affecting children a lot, and I just had not heard that. So I'm just telling you, if you got babies and they're sick and they got a fever, at least check them out. Check them out and make sure that they're all right because there's some respiratory illness. They just kind of, and in New York it's really bad, and they say it's here. So you just got to be health conscious right now. You got to go get your oregano and vitamin D3 and your zinc and all that stuff. And if you don't feel good, go to the doctor. I'm not telling y'all what to do, but it's really something. We got to figure out why. And they're saying they're dealing with respiratory problems they haven't had in a long time, which brings me to the question. I know y'all tired of hearing all this stuff, but, you know, if these restaurants are going to be hiring illegal aliens, and that's anybody, really. You know, it used to be when you worked for a restaurant that you had to go get cleared by the health department. You know, you had to get a certificate. And I think it's very important to go back to that because I was looking at another story where a bunch of folks got sick. And they all had eaten at that. And it wasn't here in Chicago. I think it was, I can't remember where it was, outside of Chicago or another city, because I got the tail end of, not the tail end, but I got enough to hear that most of them was from the same place. And it came from the food, they said, from the cooking. So we need to make sure that we ask them, this is something that your representative can do. They can ask for the, to make sure the health department enforce that, because that's kind of dangerous. A lot of folks go in here and, you know, y'all eating out, y'all doing this and y'all smiling. You know, folks have stuff. There was a report out, and I didn't get the article. I should have brought the article. You can look. I think it was in the Tribune sometime. What day was it? It might have been Friday, Thursday or Friday, where there was a lot of E. coli and that came from fecal that was in some ground beef. And they named it. Y'all should look it up. Everybody should look it up. They named the name of the beef and what the number was and everything. And sometimes it comes with people in their hygiene, you know. And when you have a bunch of folks whose hygiene are different, and that's what happened. I'm just saying this for your health. And then I'm going to get into some other things with y'all because I think your health is very important. They saying New York got so many diseases, they finna put masks back on people when they come into the hospital because they're seeing diseases they just had not seen in a long time. And these folks are coming over here, and y'all know y'all, most folks don't want to talk about it, but this is not right. What was said is that there are more immigrants, illegal immigrants have come over than our birth rate in the country. That should tell you something. It was also a report that was dealing with birth rate, and they said that blacks, African American descendants, those of us, and you know, they kind of, they're not talking about the one who immigrated or either who came in. They said us, we have like a 0% population. And I said, that's not true. But then when I looked at it, they're saying that based off of how many deaths we've been having and the low amount of babies that we have, we're almost like a zero population. To give y'all something to think about, do you want to be extinct? Do you want your children not to have anything? They be a little bitty fish in a country that you built? You know, we got to talk serious here. And I've been trying to figure out why our representatives, the Black Caucus, need to call an urgent meeting and talk about the effect of this stuff on the black community. They shouldn't wait for no notes and stuff to talk about. They need to talk about it now. They need to talk about what the health effects, what effect this is having on the communities that they represent. And if you notice, our representatives are not talking about that. And our federal representative can go to Biden and talk to him about what's going on, the effect of all of this stuff having on their constituents in their community. And I've not heard that. The only thing you hear is that systemic racism, white supremacy, that emotional stuff all the time, and things that affecting us we just don't hear about. And this is where you miss people like Gus Savage, Adam Clayton Powell, Senator Brooks. They would have said something by now. Senator Brooks was really, he was there by himself, but he always raised issues, and he always dealt with things that was going on in our community. So did Powell and a lot of other folks, even when Harold was congressman. But I'm saying, I'm calling on our federal representative, they have to go and meet with the president or talk to his cabinet, somebody, about effect this illegal immigration is having on your constituency, because it is having an effect on us. It's going to affect our health, our wealth, and everything else, our school system. Now, there's several things that went into effect on the 1st of January. Now, you know we're going to have elect school board this year. And I know y'all don't want to hear all that. Y'all want me to just talk some other stuff. And in the elected school board, and it was voted upon by your state, by your representatives, people who have children in the school, whether they're legal or not, can vote on who's going to represent, who's going to be the representation. They can vote, which means that you're going to be outnumbered. And when I talk this stuff to y'all, and it's not just in Chicago, it's all over. Y'all really don't understand what I'm saying about our own demise. I'm not talking about no party, anything else. I'm talking about the demise of the descendants of enslaved blacks in America. How we, even though we have more representation and we have people that fought for more, the demise for the youth and for the young people and for our future, it's in peril. And the people we have that is voting against it without realizing, I don't think they really looking long term. Because now you got all these 8 million that they know of that have come in, and I see all of them pushing them babies, bringing them babies. I told you I was in a store during the holidays, and I saw this black woman walking around holding this dog like it was a baby rather than a pet. And here they walking through with their little vouchers and stuff with a bunch of babies and the strollers and the stomach and everywhere else. Now, maybe y'all want us, we need to discuss that. Maybe y'all don't want your children to be educated. Maybe you don't want your children to, you're descendant of, this doesn't make sense. You have built something. And one thing I noticed, and they got you talking about your country so bad that you cannot participate. You're not participating in maintaining what's in this country, which goes to what I'm going to say next. And I got to get all the information, the House bill and stuff. You can look at it, who voted on it, who agreed with it, and all of that, that they saying that starting the first, non-citizens can become police officers. And they want to put it on the right wing, and because they keep y'all emotional, the Republicans or the Democrats, as to why, I want to know why they are opposing it. Come on, y'all, give me a break. Illegal people who have broken the law, who are not citizens, can now be police officers? Are you kidding me? Now, if you in the black community already, if you call for a white shirt, a captain, and most of them are white, Hispanic, or Chinese anyway, you don't have that many other ones. And if you're a police officer, call and talk to me. Because Hispanic have the Hispanic Patrolman League, just like they had a health of this and everything that we had, our blueprint, they're using it in terms of empowerment. And I really can't get upset with them for using it. I get upset with us for not doing it. So they hate the police, don't be no police officer. Well, how are you going to have community policing without black people being police officers? We used to have police officers, and all police officers are not bad. And we had some you had some good police officers. Some of them might have been rough. I don't know, but I know there was a black police officer that patrolled, that protected Dr. King and Jess and everybody else, you know, Harold. But they told you, don't join the police force. Don't join the service. Don't get these jobs. Don't work for this white supremacist. And my question is, if anybody have this answer, please tell me, who are these people who's leading this, who making the decision to tear down statues, who making the decision to say you don't need to work with the pigs, who making these decisions? I don't understand. And how do you join in? That's the emotional trip. All you hear today is January 6th. That's the emotional trip. You're going to hear all that all day long. I heard it last night and this morning. And a lot of you did not look at the some of the footage they released to show who all was up in there. Some of the FBI agents, CIA, all them folks was up in there. And how it really was. So look at some of that stuff. But if we stay over there, we looking over there when these people are crossing this border. And it's terrible. I'm telling y'all, it's wrong. And when you give up the moral authority, if you give up the moral authority to be right, you mess up. You really mess up. You must always keep the moral authority. That's when Dr. King said, let's deal with content of character. And they got you away from that. You have to deal with the character of a person. If that person is black and his character is not correct, or his or her character, then we're not supposed to be dealing and letting them folks lead us? Or we're not supposed to be putting them in a place? You know, so as you get ready to celebrate King's birthday and all the other stuff, remember that he did talk about content of character. And Dr. King used to always talk about character to us. We had to read a book called Conspicuous Consumption. And my being young and the movement, and, you know, we had been in a lot of places and study, and they brought professors to it. And I didn't understand the book. I got to reading it, and as time went on, I can understand it. Because when you read that book, Conspicuous Consumption, you understand character, understand why people do some things based off of, it's a good book to read, but a lot of books we had to read was dealing with character and God and stuff like that. But characters and manners and proud for your people and looking out and doing this. It doesn't matter anymore. We don't talk about that. If you look at the historical perspective of black people in this country, we have to talk about ourselves. Don't be scared. That's what happened during Jim Crow era for real. They had us scared. Anytime they take anything, there's a fear because it comes from post-traumatic slavery syndrome that it's easy for somebody to make us, wait, don't talk about it because I might lose this. Let's help everybody, you know, and everybody's not helping us. Not even some of those, not all, but some of those that we sent. And this doesn't make any sense. I'm going to get the role. Y'all need to look for it. And if our people voted, that didn't make no sense. They should have been saying that we need to get more blacks on the police department or more people. They want to talk about color, people of color, this and that. More blacks, because you can't have community police. Instead, they have black folks up in police face spitting on them and twerking on them and doing all kind of crazy stuff and clapping and then leaving your place unsafe. In the meantime, now they finna go over. How in the world? Something is wrong with that. I don't know. How can an illegal person enforce a law? I don't understand that. And none of our people should have understood that. And they need to look at the percentage. We just always look at the percentage of blacks in place. That's what they're doing. And they start hollering about they want more people of color. Well, it don't mean you. So we got to really look at that. I don't know if we're going to repeal that. We should push our people to repeal that because that's not right. Somebody that's not legal is not going to be a policeman. Does that make any sense to enforce the law? That doesn't make no sense to me. Oh, Jesus, that don't make no sense to me. And I don't understand that. You know, don't understand it. You know, you can't even get a firearm to protect yourself. But illegals, and you don't know what they own. You don't know what they own. They can become police officers. And I think that went by y'all head. And that as of the 1st of January, that's two things. And I told you, I can't remember her name, the one that was the state rep that took me in Martinez place. She, that one state representative of Latino, said, no, we have to put in there that all parents should be able to do that. They was looking out for themselves, and nobody was saying, wait a minute. You don't have a commission together right now that's talking about the education of that child. You don't have that. Or talking about how do we do vocational training, how do we do the artisan trades. See, a lot of folks come in and have those trades. And then they'll say you don't want them when they shut down all of our vocational training and all the things that our children need. And not just vocational, AI and everything else. There's not a focus, even though we're spending all our money, there's not a focus on education of black children or whether they should be nurses, all our money at city colleges, whether they should go to city college and take up the nursing. You know, where should they go? City college and a lot of our city colleges have some great programs. Are we taking our children and putting them in there? Something is going extremely wrong for us as we get ready to celebrate Dr. King's. We finna celebrate Dr. King, not only just his birthday, his 15th, but we're going to be celebrating the first or second Monday. The second Monday, we're going to be celebrating whatever the Monday is. Next 21st, his holiday. Something is wrong. They're going to tell you to go clean, do something. Go clean up something. Go volunteer. No, you need to get together and go demand the education and equality that we fought for and not equity. Y'all don't understand that equity. What kind of equity you going to put in it? Equity is when you put something in and you get a percentage of your equity out. So they do this DEI and they put all these other folks in place and they don't have no equity in this country. You do, but you don't understand. You just lack slogans. And I'm just afraid of what's going on here, y'all. I'm really afraid. I really worry that that's two major moves that was made and nobody's talking about it. And I don't understand that. Illegals can become police officers and illegals can also vote to determine what our school system is going to look like. Now, last one other thing. We built a country. In God we trust. We built this country. You put your hand on the Bible. It was all over whatever you went into, any institution or you went into, any government building. Not even folks want you to go. Black folks, listen to this. Christians cannot pray in schools. But everybody else can take time out to go kneel and do their stuff. Even the satanic people can go in. There's something wrong. If you look back at the history of black people in this country, you look at Shaw Universities, and you look at all of the things that we built, even Frederick Douglass was a minister, there was a focus on God of our weary years. It was a focus on to make the black race better and to build and to do. That's why John Johnson could take money from his mother and build Ebony and Jet. That's why S.B. Fuller could build. And on and on across this country, there's not a mindset of entrepreneurship or building or anything like that. It's destruction. When you turn on the TV or you read, look at this stuff, it's destruction, 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 and it's hate, hate, hate. And it's not, this is what we're doing. There's some TV, some of these stations don't even bring nothing on that's positive. They wait and they get their little reading, and you watch the day, it's going to be a mess. But in the meantime, our children cannot read, and they're not encouraged to be scientists, to be doctors, to be nurses, to be artists and trades, you know, be plumbers, be electricians, you know, be deal with these radios and AI and all that other stuff. So that's the problem we have, and those are the things I want to talk about even in your community, wherever you are around this city. They got a new mayor in Philadelphia. She said she's going to clean that mess up. We'll see. You got to think about more than just voting. I don't care. Give me who I got. Give me my sheet. And then when you don't have no political education, which I'm going to talk about the second hour, really about political education, and you just vote, that's how you put Tlaib in there. That's how you put that girl in Minnesota in there. And a bunch of other folks, a lot of other folks is in there that's not looking out for your interest. Now, that don't say that this government should not be a representative of all the people in the country. But how do you get, you're not represented. I was in a store and I saw this little girl and she was just looking at all the stuff on the shelf like she was about to go crazy. Our structure, what we had, and if we're so bad, ask yourself this question. Why are people dying to get here? Why are they dying to get it? Why did they tell? Who told y'all to tear down Teddy Roosevelt statue? Because they didn't want you to know his relationship with Booker T. Washington and how he helped build Tuskegee. Who told them to tear down all this stuff? Who told them to tear down this stuff in Arlington Cemetery? Because that was reconciliation. And who is behind this? But in the meantime, you're getting left out. And that's my problem. And that's why I'm having a big problem with what's going on, because I'm really worried. I'm worried about the education, and I'm worried about our community, what we have or do we have. And it's crazy. And the last thing is, it's very easy to deal with this. They want to know what to do? Send them home. Most of them are not here because of no silence. You can hear for jobs and other stuff. Send them home. They should go back. And they like bully people. You ever watch them come across that border? They're like bullies. And they'll bully you. And all of them not coming for good use. It's really, we in trouble, y'all. We in trouble here. Y'all got to get away from emotions and destructions. You know, destruction, you can, demolition, let's not just demolish so much. Let's start building. Talk of Chicago, 1690 with VON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook and Blog Talk if you miss us. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman, Call for Tea and a Conversation with Me. right here at the Great WVON. I'm going to take your calls for the next 15 minutes to see what you got to say before we go on a break. I don't have to take a break, so I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to talk to you. We're going to talk and come back at 7 o'clock and pick it back up because there's something I want to talk to you about. Williams.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman, and thank you for taking my call. I'm just giving you an update on the strong and resilient United Communities. We're still out there fighting this illegal immigration. Also, I was very disappointed with WVON yesterday.
Wait. Tell us, a lot of folks don't know where you're fighting. Folks might not just be listening. Where you're fighting, okay. You on 115th and Halsted?
Yes, we're still fighting on 115th.
Give folks an update what it is you're doing so they can know.
Okay. Yeah, so what we're still doing is trying to keep this illegal immigration out of there. So we believe now that they're going to target that Walgreens like they did over there with that CVS, knock it down, and bring in a tent city there, right, because that's very possible.
Now, this is out of 115. Y'all had decided that y'all was going to build something for the community there. Now,
Yes. Somebody
told me they got signs up all around there saying, don't no trespassing. Is that true?
No, they took the signs down. Well, the signs are still up there, no trespassing. But they took, like, the little fence down and where you could see it.
Is that for y'all talking to you not to trespass? Was it put up there for you?
Probably is. It probably is. That's exactly what it is.
So if you trespass, you're going to get put in jail if you trespass the illegal aliens coming in here.
Yes.
So you can't trespass on the land.
Right. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So some of y'all going to end up going to jail. The other thing is... they're talking about building an intake center. I'm saying, wait a minute, an intake center? What you expecting?
Right.
Folks,
absolutely. That's why we still fight. See, we're not going to let this issue just fade away. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thank you for everything that you do every Saturday. You get up here and you keep this issue alive, right, letting them know that they are illegal and they're taking our resources and money.
What I need to know, Williams, I wish they called me, too. I want to know how many people do we have out here that's trying to help our community, have very little funds that helping people in our community. They're not getting any money. You got a lot of organizations in the black community, just small organizations in communities like yours and mine, so people are trying to help. They're not getting it.
Right, so what we're doing is we're trying to create a 501c3 because I believe without that 501c3...
Well, no, I don't need to talk about that. That's something you have to do.
That's what we're doing.
I'm talking about that. Now, what else you want to... What's your other update?
It was very sad that the interview they had with the mayor yesterday on WVON, they didn't ask no questions from that chat. It was a very weak, and he dodged all the little weak questions.
Wait, who did the interview?
Atiba and what's the other lady that come on in the evening?
Well, let me say this. You can't say at the station you're very upset with VON. I mean, usually the host asks the questions they want to ask when they get a guest, you know. So evidently that's the core. Those are the questions that the host wants to ask. When I have people on my show, I have questions that I ask them. So
I agree.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure of that.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
I'm gonna ask him to come on with me. He can come on with me.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Nah. Ask him to come on your show, Robert McKay's show, or the P Ray show, where they can get real questions.
I'm not gonna knock my colleagues who got him. People ask questions based off of how they feel and what they believe in. So that's what they.
No, that's not what they. That's not what they said, Alderman Tillman. They said we're gonna ask questions from the chat. Right, and I looked at that chat, and other people did too, and wasn't no questions coming off of that chat.
Okay, well, I missed it because I was really doing a lot of things yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to do too much. So I missed it. I might listen back. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You know, but you can't say. Let's talk about VON first of all, but secondly, most hosts have what they're going to be saying and who they, you know, how they're going to be dealing with interviews. So, but I'll try to listen back at it. But that's what she decided to answer, David.
Good morning, Ms. Still.
Good morning, David.
All right. Happy New Year to everybody. I got a question, Ms. Tillman. Who are political representatives really working for when they can ask for $5 billion to harbor and aid fugitives but won't even give the ordinary citizen a right to vote whether we want a sanctuary city, state, or country. Happy New Year's.
Thank you, David. Are you through? David, go. He raised a question because they got people confused right now. Are you still there, David? He's gone, right? Okay. Hello? David is gone. We have representative government, and that's what people keep missing. We are not a world democracy, democratically democracy. We are a republic, and that's why American government was set up so different from any government in this on this planet, really. Besides, Canada got one, but it's not like ours, and you got European government. But we broke off from Europe, from England. We set up representative government because it was oppressive in England, the taxes and all those things that was going on. Now, what does the representative government mean? And that's why when you start hollering with people, we want to get rid of the cottage, because when you do that electoral cottage, that's not, yes, it is. It was set up. So whether you live in a little bitty town in Illinois or Alabama, or you got a little state somewhere else, that you have a right to have representation to select that president. So those people who you, when you vote for the Congress and other stuff, that give them so many, so the electoral, so they can have electoral vote. So study electoral college before you start hollering you want it gone. I've been trying, all these folks is really trying to disrupt everything that this government stands from. You disrupt it, tear it up, turn it loose, and then rebuild to what they want from what they left. How do you leave something and then you come in and try to make that be that? So that's one of the problems right there, David, is that we have representative government, and when you elect someone, they're supposed to represent you, talk to you, but somehow, not all. That's why we have to talk about this whole thing we did with Lou Palmer, all of us did when we did political education. Our people have missed the boat. They deal with personality or who get them to get a few dollars and all the other stuff, and not the representative government to look out for the whole. And that's what made this country different. And those people coming over here, if you notice, they use our Constitution to get what they want because they're studying it, and you're not studying it because they don't teach it in school or nothing else anymore. So that's the way this stuff is. I tell you, oh, Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm really worried. What's your name?
Hello, it's Anita. How?
No.
Good morning.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Anita? I didn't know it was you.
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was widowed, and she remarried, and she took care of 7 children, and her values were different. She needed a family. I have concern that other women coming into our community are not respecting the values of our
Well, it's
our
not just the women. There's a discussion. They do have women. These women are leading. If you look at their leadership as they're fighting and studying who they're putting in office, they're putting their women in office, and the women are making sure that the men get what they're supposed to be getting. So, no, it's just the women. There's a strategy. And for the takeover, what they're doing to this country, but also to use black folks against ourselves, Anita. So
but Dorothy.
Yeah.
Black women were able to get in position because African-American men went through the experience of the sacrifice to get.
No, I'm not knocking it. No, Anita.
Men who don't sacrifice.
No. Okay, Anita. What I want to say is that it used to be a time that black men and women, when we worked together, they put a dividing thing there, but we worked together, the men and the women, you know, as we in this country, that's why we was able to build because of how we work. You know, we was really able to do that. I tell you, Rebecca?
Yes. I wanted to say that what is going on with Kamala Harris? What is she saying about these people coming in here?
Kamala said nothing. She said nothing, and you got these folks running around like a fool. Keep it. She's a black woman. Kamala has not said nothing. Kamala, first of all, they put people in position who don't even understand the experience of the descendants of enslaved blacks in America. Kamala don't understand, and I'm not a father, you know, came from rich Jamaica, who, and a mama from India, who they're raising up don't understand our pain. Kamala, God rest her soul, you know, she is not saying anything, and they say, you don't have to say nothing, but I'm black.
But we need to demand.
Wait, Rebecca, you missed me. All you got to say is, I'm black. I'm a black woman.
I understand that's what people believe, that that's how she got in. But I'm saying, let's hold her accountable while she's still there. She's still there, let's see if we can get her on the show. Let's see if we can get people on the show that we can hold them accountable that are in office,
position. I'm not knocking at it. There are certain shows they won't come on, and mine as well, but we'll see. Rebecca, you're absolutely correct. I thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca's absolutely correct. When they're there, we got to hold them accountable. I don't care who it is, black, white, green, or purple, because we're in representative government, and that's something we have to do. Pastor Greg.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. How are you? Happy New Year. You will always be my alderman.
Thank you.
You mentioned something about groups that have been out here fighting forever.
Right.
And small, and I'm one of them, United Voters for Truth and Change. We've been fighting for 30 years.
Trying to get folks on construction jobs and all the other things.
You know exactly what
I've
been doing.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of little groups in our community, and they're not getting, you know, nobody's trying to help them.
And if you can point us in any direction this morning to whom we might should talk to, I just recently heard that they gave the mayor some more money, and some of it is supposedly to be given to men who have just come out incarcerated. 85% of my organization, people that I help.
I don't know. I'm not locked into that. You can talk to your representative and talk to the mayor, call his office. You know, if I was down there, you know, I'd be down there hollering about where is the money. But the question, they play a game with this money. I heard a commissioner on somebody's show, and when Duncan, that was when I was, you know, and they were saying they got the money for homeless, but also for the immigrants. That's like a hiding the money behind that. That's the
It's called misappropriations of funds.
Yeah. So the thing of it is, Pastor, is that I don't know whether our people are afraid. What they'll tell you is that I swear it represents all people, but yet they come to you to get elected. I told you I talked to a couple of the aldermen about these illegal immigrants. They were saying, we can't do nothing about it because they're asylum seekers. These folks don't know asylum seekers. And Taylor had it right. Representative Taylor, she said, we down here and don't know nothing. Then they made a backup off of it. But these other folks are studying the government. They're studying federal, state, and local government, and they're using it to get what they want, and our people just waiting for their little talking point. But no, I want to call the mayor's office. Call Lee down there, Jason Lee. You know, that's Sheila Jackson Lee's son. Call Jason. Say, hey, Jason, where the money at? Thank you so much. I would try to get Jason on my show. I know. Jason, if you listen, now I know you ain't – I know Jason will come. Do I have time to take one more call before my break? Okay. Oh, Art. Art. Hey, Art.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. How are you? And Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year to you too, Art, and your family.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should continue to focus on rebuilding and re-strengthening the black family, which is a black man, black woman, and black children, and work on developing or implementing a full community code of conduct and family value system. And I, in terms of when the mayor came on, Darlene Hill show and Atiba show,
I'm so sorry.
He did extremely well, number one.
Well, you're going to say that, Art. You know how you are. That's what me and you get. You ain't going to be critical.
Well,
if they're a black man, you ain't going to be critical. All right, and I love you dearly. You know that.
No, according to my history, I'm very critical of black people, and I was told I was a hater. I don't like black people.
Who said that? Go finish what you were saying. I'm sorry. Because I'm about to go on the
second. No problem.
Tell me about your opinion of the mayor being on. I'm sorry. Go on.
I, the questions they asked, which he's not going to be able to ask every question. It wasn't only about an hour. And they asked very good questions. He gave answers.
Give me one or two that he answered.
They asked him about immigration.
What did he say about the illegal immigration?
He said that, of course, he didn't want it this way. That's not what he wanted to do, but the situation and the problem.
Wait. Yo, but he said we was a sanctuary city and he welcomed them to come, right?
No, he didn't say that he welcomed them to come.
I could go get the tape where he said we're a sanctuary city and we're going to treat people humane and we welcome all folks to come down. I said that's before we got overloaded like this.
But that was, I guess that was a general norm of that the city was before he became mayor. So he wasn't only repeating what the policies or the rules or regulations or whatever it is. But it wasn't that him personally. He said, hey, I'm sanctuary city. Hey, bring you all. I got stuff for you. That's just not what he was saying.
Okay,
but they're here.
Because I'm almost out to get the break.
Right, and he spoke about community policing. He spoke about many different things and the challenges.
What about
he spoke
community
mostly
policing?
About...
Because we don't have any black folks on the police force, and now we're giving the illegals the right to be. What? How you got community policing if you don't have black folks on the force?
Well, he said with the new person who's sitting in the place, they are working on getting these things together. That's
okay.
Number one. But he spoke about a lot of things that he has done that is doing with opening up two mental health clinics, stopping from having the police being overloaded with mental health problems and all that, and setting up.
I gotta go down, Mike. I gotta go. All right, thank you for that.
All right, no problem.
I really
no problem,
thank you for that because she's telling me I gotta go on break now. But thank you. I want to
yes,
take.
Ma'am.
Thank you so much, and I'm gonna go back and listen. But thank you because I missed the show, and thank you so much, Art. Okay, Talk of Chicago, 69 at VN and 773-591-6090. We're streaming live. www.voing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and we're also on Blog Talk if you miss us. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me right here at the great WVON in the city of Chicago, and we're talking about our future, and I need to talk about that more. Let's talk about it on the other end of the break. Get your coffee, get your tea, or whatever you're drinking, and come on back and talk to me because we got to look after the next generation. I'll be right back.
What a lovely, precious dream.
Harry McCready.
And I'm Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Colorado's Democratic Secretary of State is urging the Supreme Court to provide a swift resolution to whether Donald Trump should be on the state's GOP ballot.
So I do think it's important for the United States Supreme Court to act quickly, even if that action is determining that they will not review the case. That, in effect, would basically put Colorado Supreme Court's case in full power and would disqualify the former president.
Secretary of State Jenna Griswold on MSNBC. Trump is asking the high court to overturn a decision by Colorado Supreme Court, which ruled that Trump engaged in insurrection on January 6, 2021, disqualifying him from the state's GOP primary ballot. Griswold said she now hopes for clarity on whether someone who engaged in insurrection may run for the country's highest office.
Former Harvard President Claudine Gay says she faced death threats and was called the N-word over several weeks in a harassment campaign on a character, ultimately forcing her to step down. In a New York Times op-ed, she discussed her decision to resign after plagiarism allegations and criticisms that she failed to address anti-Semitism on campus. Gay said she was eager to deny demagogues the opportunity to further weaponize her presidency and claimed her inbox included death threats. As Harvard's first black president in nearly 400 years, Gay believes the attacks on her were partially motivated by tired racial stereotypes.
A federal judge has ruled the U.S. Military Academy at West Point can continue considering race in its admissions process. This rejects a request to block affirmative action policies in the school. Judge Philip Halpern said the group Students for Fair Admissions did not meet the burden of proof on several grounds to grant the injunction. The group argued the use of race in the process is unconstitutional and violates the aspect of equal protection in the Fifth Amendment.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is evaluating reports of side effects, including hair loss and suicidal thoughts in people taking medications like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy. The drugs, which were approved for weight loss and treatment of diabetes, mimic the GLP-1 hormone made naturally in the body and slows passage of food through the stomach. The FDA is looking into possible regulatory action after its FDA adverse event reporting system received reports of alopecia, aspiration, and suicidal ideation in those using the medications.
6-year-old Chandler Hughes of Humble, Texas, is one of the smartest children in the state, if not the nation, and has now joined the prestigious Mensa Society. You must be in the top 2% worldwide to be accepted into the organization of people who are essentially geniuses. Chandler started reading before his second birthday, and his father said he's hoping to become a doctor. For more international, national, state, and local news impacting the Black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Black Information Network and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Black InfoNet. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 news, the Black Information Network.
Believe in you. Believe that with the opportunities and support from City Colleges of Chicago, you can succeed. City Colleges is in your community to make it easier for you to access an affordable and excellent education. Wherever you live, wherever you are in life, we'll meet you there with the tools you need to write your own future. You have a goal. Love it, live it with classes at City Colleges of Chicago.
Hey, you're up next. Ugh, my throat hurts so bad. There's no way I can sing tonight.
Here, try these.
Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Yeah, Vicks VapoCool Drops has maximum strength menthol with a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Ooh, I can already feel it.
I told you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Please welcome to the stage.
Vaporize sore throat pain fast with Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evenings at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Greetings, family. Salim Muwakil here. Please join me on the Salim Muwakil Show every Saturday evening from 7 to 10 o'clock and experience the growth of your mind muscles in real time. Check us out.
Salim Muwakil, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704.
Hey, you're up next.
Ugh, my throat hurts so bad. There's no way I can sing tonight.
Here, try these.
Vicks VapoCool Drops.
Yeah, Vicks VapoCool Drops has maximum strength menthol with a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Ooh, I can already feel it.
I told you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Please welcome to the stage.
Vaporize sore throat pain fast with Vicks VapoCool Drops.
This is P-Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense, so bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The present has brought us facing the rising sun of a new day. Let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road.
Difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind. I've been to. He said it don't matter with him now. When Dr. King said it didn't matter, he didn't mean it didn't matter what happened to us as a people. It didn't matter about them killing him. He wasn't afraid to be assassinated. You know, Dr. King was always threatened. I was looking at I overdosed on him the other day. I got a bunch of DVDs and, CDs and tapes, but the system here don't have it no more, so I decided to go search YouTube. And I overdosed on him, and, you know, I was just looking at him, you know, and just listening to him. And when he said, it really doesn't matter to me now, because I've been to the mountain, how spiritual he was. And that's why this book told me he was depressing, based off the spirit. Dr. King really believed, and if you knew him, I was talking to somebody in Montgomery, the other day, somebody, she's older too, like me, some of the young people, Doris, she still worked with Houston down there, and we were just talking about some of the stuff Dr. King told us, and I told her how blessed we were as young people to be part, coming up out of Montgomery, being part of that movement, to be here today, to still try to teach our children. So when Dr. King said, it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, he went to God, because he got a tape about Christianity, how he had to go to his God. And he went to his God, and he said, I've been to the mountaintop, and I looked over, and God said, this is what it is. Your people are going to get there. And Dr. King really believed it because, and I still believe it, I don't think God's going to leave us out here. Dr. King believed it because he couldn't see all that sacrificing and that our people would give up so much and not pull and define and redevelop our community. He expected ministers and everybody to. That's what he said. He expected that. So it's, you know, you have to know the man. But that's a whole other story. Talking to some of my people. That's how I finish the book. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, and the world. Because I get people listening to me. Some of the soldiers in their bunkers in Korea said, "We listening, Dorothy." They listen. Got a lot of folks listening all over the world that listen to me and all over this country. It is time to take a deep breath because I try to be truthful with y'all. I deal with content of character. I love black folks. Love black folks don't mean you hate nobody else, but I'm going to love black folks. But you also got to deal with content of character. If they mess up the black folks, they got to go. If their character messed up, they got to go. So take a deep breath because if your heart and mind is one, as Jesus said, your heart and your mind, you know, oxygen will God give us. Let's take a deep breath. Brianna, you got to help us. Black. Come on, y'all. We do the Trinity around here. Black. One more time, y'all. See, our artists used to sing and play that music, y'all. They did it. That's why they took all the music from them so they couldn't say that. Black. Is it black enough for you? They didn't want you to hear it.
Come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood.
Yeah. Were you afraid to
be
fight your
proud of our heritage? As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Woman and woman.
Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, "Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful."
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. And that's what Dr. King meant, telling our children and young folks, be proud of who you are. Now they say, if you black, you got to spit in cops' face. If you black, you can't learn. We got to drop the math for you. If you're black, we got to drop everything down for you because you're a dummy. If you black, get back. We back at that without you even realizing. Y'all don't even understand. Except for, I tell y'all, Dr. King, Talk of Chicago, 6979-773-5969. We're streaming live, www.theviewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And you can also get us on Blog Talk if you miss it. You can go back and get us and see what we're talking about. I tell you, my son have a blog, Talk Radio, and I get time on his station rather than have my own. something that could be easy to do. Blog Talk, just type in Dorothy Coffee Tea or Dorothy Tillman and see what we're talking about. I want you all, don't be scared to talk, y'all. You know, if you ain't talking about bashing Trump or talking about some old destruction stuff, sometimes we don't want to talk. I had a friend, Les, who used to own the Pensacola Exposure. He said, you know what, Dad? Sometimes we just good at demolition, but when it comes to construction, we can't find it. So, you know, come on, we got to do what we got to do. I just don't believe that God is going to leave us like this. We just got to wake up, and we got to see. And I'm hoping that our leadership would just sit down and pray and ask God for some directions. Because when you look at all the things, we wouldn't even still be here today if it was not for the black ministers. But they had a consciousness and a way of thinking about how they was going to lead their people out of the wilderness, how they was going to go down Pharaoh, how they was going to really build things. So what you got is the country you have built. And you don't even have a right to demand nothing. And somebody says, shut up, this is what we're going to do. Come on, y'all, that's why the country was built, because there was a rebellion against England over taxes and everything else. And when they ask even Biden for more money, that's your tax dollars. It's like people are spending our money like it's theirs, even our educational money, and they want to tell them they want more money for this, but it's really to get bilinguals and all that stuff. Send these folks home. And that's how I feel about it. Now, I'm going to maybe I talk about it toward the end. We lost Russ Vannoy, by the way, y'all. Very good friend of ours. I guess I wouldn't have been all at once for Russ Vannoy. He passed. He passed Friday. Thursday he passed. Thursday or Friday. I don't know. I went out to sit with him just before he left here. Who was Russ Vannoy? Russ Vannoy is one of those people that you might not know him, but there's a hole in the black community. A lot of y'all out there know him. If y'all knew Lou Palmer, y'all know Russ Vannoy. If y'all knew how we got Harold Washington mayor, you'll know Russ Vannoy. Lou went to Russ and said, make Dorothy run, because I didn't want to run. I was working on the educational question, and we were putting somebody in every one of the black wards, and I could not get anybody running three. They was all scared. But yet when Kenner got indicted, they all wanted to do, and that's how people are, you know. That dog comes up, you know. So I remember Russ, he was a great photographer. He was a teacher at Farragut. He taught woodshop. He was the principal of our freedom school when we boycotted Mollison. He put together the curriculum for our freedom school. He also was one of the founding members. We founded together CBUC and BIPO. BIPO, the Black Independent Political Party, Chicago Black United Community, CBUC, where we came together and decided all the communities would come together and we would work on electing a black mayor. He also worked with George and Lou to put together that plebiscite that we did when we were selecting a black mayor. Russ did a lot in our black community. He passed the other day. His daughter called me and told me he was on his last leg. She was out of town and asked me would I go out. So I went and sat with him, and I saw him fading. You know, it kind of hurt a little bit because here again we've lost some other folks. These are Harold people that y'all don't know. Y'all see these other folks that got in position like they always do. Once the fight is over, they run and take the positions. And then when they take the positions, they don't help the people. And that's what happened. You get folks who never fought for anything and never will get these positions, so they don't understand how to fight. And that was the first time that black folks in this city was afraid, the elected official was afraid of black people. That was the first time. And Russ played a major role in the election of Harold Washington as mayor of this city. When he was a teacher at Farragut doing woodshop, he took his money and went in, and Farragut's mostly Latina now. He took his money and would go buy children food, go to the house, he went in there, get them prom dresses, do everything. Russ was a great man. Russ was one of those folks that has a hole in the black community. Y'all wouldn't even understand what he did. You wouldn't even understand why Johnson is there or why Barack got to be president. It's because of people like Russ Vannoy. But like I said, Harold's people never get recognized. It's always all these other folks who come, and they weren't number cowards in the first place, and they want to act like trying to write their stuff in history, but Russ was truly there. He's gone, but he lived, he did a lot on this earth when God gave you an assignment. He took his assignment. So I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to come to y'all. Have You Ever Lost a Friend? And I'm playing it for all of Harold's people and for the black community in the city of Chicago. Have You Ever Lost a Friend? By Charles Bevel. We lost a good friend. And then I'm going to come to the phone. Russell North. See, I would never know all the stuff he did. I remember he came by and he put up my picture. In fact, my first campaign picture, that was photographer Russ. He put a picture and said, Alderman running for, he said, Alderman III Ward, my picture. He stayed on me. And he was my first public relations person. He
this
worked with me.
This is not a song of love.
This is dedicated to
Jingle Bell
Russ. You know, we lost a lot of people last year. And all of these
have
folks have lost a lot who fought for black folks. You know, Dran Watson, Overtree, just a lot of folks.
Back again.
But that's all right. They're in soul heaven right now.
No, no,
looking
no,
out for
never
us.
Again.
This is, I'll come after this song. Russ Fanoa, I know some of y'all remember him. He taught political education, helped talk to political education for New Palma. We taught political education to put folks in office to work on behalf of black people. That was Russ Fanoa along with the other people. Y'all was there when we formed C-Buck and Bippo, and when we formed Getting Harold Washington Ready. Y'all know Russ Fanoa. Okay, Melody. Melody, she didn't make it here in time. Father got up out of here before she got here. She asked me to go to the hospital because she couldn't make it. And then she'll call me when she's at the airport, and he was gone.
Only when
so,
you see him gone,
but I did get a chance to sit there with him for a while.
Will you understand a home? Then you'll understand a home. Oh, we went alone.
Come on, Russ. That's a lot of folks. They ain't gone. We Christian, we know they ain't gone. That's Russ Fanoa. He deserve it all. They're going to have a memorial later. I'll let you know. I tell you, that's Charles Bevel, y'all.
And other stuff. Rich or poor, right or wrong. Someday you will sing.
Someday you
going to
sing this song. We all got to leave.
Sing this,
but the question is, do you do what God put you on this earth for? He did. For us to know it.
Have you ever lost
someone? Have you ever lost a friend? Have them back again. No, 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 never again. Okay, Brianna. We lost a lot of friends in 2023, and we look like we're kicking off 2024. Miss Gardner's gone. She left. All these great folks who did things for us to be who we are. Russ Fanoa, one of our great heroes that you don't know about, that it might not have been a Harold Washington without people like Russ Fanoa. I will go back to the phone. I just wanted to do that. I know his daughter's listening in Florida, but, hey, let me know what you want me to do. They're not going to have a funeral, but they have a celebration later. Okay? Andre.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Tip.
Good morning, Andre.
All right. You can't be what you don't see.
Okay.
So I want to thank you. So when I was growing up at Robert Taylor Projects and I would see you fighting, you know, a lot of people described you as the lady with the big head or things like that, but you stood out because you was a freedom fighter.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I mean by freedom fighter is that's somebody that's unbought, unpaid, and they don't have nothing on the person.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't control the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're lacking today because when you talked about nonprofit organizations, you know, I used to be the road manager for the Slick Boys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, watching you and growing up in the project, Robert Taylor, mm-hmm. you know, that's where I get my fight at, and, you know, seeing people being mistreated. So I went over to stop the bus at Wadsworth when mm-hmm. the migrants was coming in on a bus that's called My Kind of Town.
Illegal immigrants. We're not going to dignify by calling them migrants.
Yeah, the immigrants. Yeah. Let me apologize for that. And when I stood in the tent and then later on got arrested.
You was over there in Hyde Park, right?
I was over in Wadsworth.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm going to tell you this, too, what gave me energy as I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only seeing you, you know, but also hearing children hold on because I was so young.
Yeah.
I used to, you wasn't playing it then, but you play it now, and it takes me back.
And I'm going to find it and play it before I go out for you, Andre.
So I got an organization called Chicago Against Violence that I created probably about 16, 18 years ago.
Repeat the name.
I never took Chicago Against Violence.
Oh, okay.
We started the Green Jackets, not Ronnie Manuel. I started those Green Jackets.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they had more power and money that they can put them out there to say pastor. So what I'm saying is that I never took a dime nor a dollar because they not going to control me.
Yeah, I understand.
If anti-violence organization, I'm going to hurry up, if they took money, that was because they was controlled.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't doing the work. They was doing the political work.
You can have some other way of saying that's your tax dollars, that you should be able to use your tax dollars and be free. You can say you can give all you want, but you can't control me. And that's important. But what they do now is they make folks, they give folks money to make them do political work, like they're precinct captains or something.
Hey, look, when they got rid of the precinct captains, they got the anti-violence workers. So when Brother Daniels say he ain't got no money, you know, I grew up watching Daniels and my man, no, if we don't work no better. I grew up watching people fight for us.
Yeah.
So
let me say this, Andre, because I'm going to have to go. I don't know what part of Robert Taylor you came out of, but I did fight very hard. Andre, they said, Chief of Robert Taylor, and I'm from Montgomery, you know, because I believe that everybody had a right to live, and we was talking about deferred maintenance, and our people should not go and fought to keep those developments over there. And couldn't get nobody to help me because I knew they was not. Now they finna give the land. We got to watch this very closely, Andrea, because it's federal land. You're supposed to get a third. They're going to end up putting some of them immigrants in that third. Watch and see.
Well, in closing, Dorothy, I have the list for all the representatives, state reps, that voted for illegals to be police officers. And that is shame. And I agree with you that it need to be repealed. You know, if we think leasing the Skyway was bad, the parking meters, red light cameras, and closing the schools, imagine we just getting over white officers mistreating us. Imagine people that don't know the law and then come over here legal being police officers.
Well, let me ask you, the person who pushed her name was State Representative Barbara Hernandez. She's from the 5th.
Yeah, but she had to have
I know, she got the vote, but I want folks to know who pushed it.
Yes, to pass.
Yeah, but she was from Mexico. It's they be black and white, Representative Barbara Hernandez, 5th District, you know, and she was one of the ones who pushed that to make sure that passed. And I want you to let the goals to them understanding our law.
Mm-hmm. I got the list.
Okay. Well, everybody should look up the list. I'm going to look when I get home. I can't let you run it all off. Did any of the black folks vote against it?
Oh, no. It was probably about three.
What three voted against it?
I got to look on the list. I can email you the list.
Well, I'm going to look. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Andrea.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Her name was Hernandez, Barbara Hernandez. That's what happened. That same thing happened with the illegals being able to vote for the school board. See, we're not paying attention. And somebody should have raised the question, so you can't find too much on Barbara. I don't know whether she was immigrant and they naturalized or what happened. You can't find too much on them. But her name, State Representative Barbara Hernandez, and folks just went on and voted for it. I don't understand what's wrong. It's really something. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Darvo?
Oh, God bless you, my sister. This is a prophetess, Duchess, this is Diva. I wanted to just do this.
You wasted your time. Okay, what else?
I'm sounding the alarm, Dorothy, to wake up my people.
Uh-huh.
That's what God wants us to do, sound the alarm. We know and we must understand, although we don't know this, Dorothy, what people are trying to do is start a there's no political solution to a spiritual problem. See, that's what the world don't know. This is why we must go back to Yah and Yahweh and do it his way, Dorothy. Because I've been in politics, you already know. You was the first person I went to. I came to your office when I was like in my late 20s. And my mom was living at 4022 South State. My aunt was living at 35th and King in Lawless Garden. And I was living both places. And I walked in and I said, I knew about you. I've seen you, you know, at the kindergarten. And I said, I need you to do something to get me to be where I need to go. And I guess you might misunderstood me. You say, I don't do that. You can go right down the street to Bobby Rush's office.
Yeah,
and
you, was,
like,
you
okay.
Was in the second ward. I tell you that you need to go there. But look, I got to go, Darby, because I got a little board. I just wanted to talk about what we're talking about. But that, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I tell you, you was in the second district. You was in Bobby's office. I didn't say I don't do that help folks, but you, what you was trying to run for and what you was trying to do, it was the second ward. And I remember that now. I really remember that. Okay, Archie.
Hello, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Archie.
And Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
You too.
Dorothy, on 73rd in South Chicago, an armory is being built, a new armory. And I said, if anybody should know about it, it should be about you. And I'm sure you can find out where.
You mean a police, a federal government, an armor like being for the National Guard?
There you go. If you go there, you'll see the sign posted.
71st and what?
No, 73rd in South Chicago.
I'll go look. Okay.
And how many more are being built around the city where we are, I don't know. But I'm sure you can find that information.
Why you think they're building, Archie?
You want my personal opinion?
Yeah.
Boy, I figure, hell, civil war is going to break out.
Well, that's what they want to break out. What do you call a civil war?
Sad to say, Dorothy, halves against half-nots.
Oh, okay, you saying that we're into the half against half-nots. I don't know, because it looks like the half-not is coming over getting everything. It looks like everything is against the descendants of enslaved blacks in America because we getting caught up in that. But that is something. Maybe they ought to gather them all up and put them over in there. They got enough room over there, and the army's over there. Maybe that's what they need to do with these illegal immigrants instead of putting them in folks' community, take over stuff, put them there. Thank you, Archer, so much. Folks get mad at me, but, you know, I believe in love. God is love. But I also, Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. We don't come through legally. These folks, we have more people. You can go look that up. Who have come into this country, they say 8 million they count, but it's 10 million because we got away. We have more people who come into this country than we had birth rates this year and last year, too. That says a lot. And they're trying to have these babies. And that whole baby thing, that anchor baby thing came from black folks because they were trying to get the enslaved people, make sure they were citizens. Had nothing to do with these folks. But they know the government, and they're teaching themselves how to get around, to know all these laws, and all we're doing is following. We need to understand. We really do need to understand. Demetra.
Hello. Good morning, Dorothy, and
good morning,
Happy
Demetra.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I have three things to say. Well, Williams had called about the meeting they had on the 115th, where they were supposed to protest last week.
Uh-huh.
Well, I went over there, and I was kind of late. It was at 2:48, and there wasn't a soul over there. Only thing I seen was those trespassing signs. And then the second thing I want to get through.
You're listening. She said she came over to join you, and went over there. The trespassing signs is all around on that fence, so if y'all go over there so they can arrest you. And they ain't arresting these other folks for being illegal. That's what's so bad. I hope William listened. Okay, what's the other thing?
Right, and the other one, I worked with the city, with the police department. They've been having illegals. I found that out in 2011.
Okay.
They've been illegals. And then I also...
Is that why, Demetrius? I know. Is that why sometimes if you call for a captain or white shirt, they're Chinese, or they're Latina of Spanish speaking here, or they are white from foreign countries. That's who come to your house late at night. You don't have no blacks on Harley, white shirts, or captains of none on duty at night. That's black descendants of enslaved blacks in America.
Right. And I also found out by listening to your radio station, the lady said, look up because you can recall your mayor. And the law was called the Laquan McDonald Law, and the number was HB4794, and the mayor can be recalled.
I don't know what that passed. I thought that they were trying to get it passed so that they could get rid of Rahm, but I don't think that it's...
Yeah, that's for Rahm, but I think it can go for all of them.
But I'm saying I don't know whether that passed or not. That passed?
I'm sure it did because I'm looking at it on my cell phone.
It's a state. The state did that?
It says, I'm giving you this. The General Assembly creates the Chicago Official Recall Act, referred to as the Laquan McDonald Law, established procedures for election to recall the mayor of Chicago and aldermen.
Well, I'm going to look it up because I didn't know. Now, I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to look that up, Demetrius. Is that your last point?
Yes, that's my last point right now until next week unless something else come up.
So I don't know what we're going to do. How can you have community policing if you don't have black folks?
Oh, yes. And then another thing, yes, I would like to know, because I do listen, whom can we actually talk to and get together as a group besides just talk? I want us to get together.
Well, leadership start with the person who want to do it. Because usually when you start, I know when I got ready to mobilize at Mollison, I just got out there and started doing it. And people came together to do it, and we did the same thing with Harold. You can't just... Rosa Parks didn't say, well, who can I get to do the study? She said, throughout our struggle, what God put on our heart, we begin, and you'll be surprised who will join in. You start with two or three of your own. Come by three, come by two. Three of y'all get together and talk about it and grow. And three, I'm saying when people want to do something, don't sit and wait because these folks is not doing nothing. God will give you and guide you. Get two or three people that think like you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is just too. Do I take a break? I don't have to take a break. Okay, all right, I wouldn't know whether I had to take a break or not. Now, I know that's not the Williams who was called earlier, right? Okay, I can't get him back again. Maybe 30 seconds. William, I can't let you already call, but you're going to have 30 seconds to answer. That's
no,
all.
I just wanted to say we were out there. You know, we were on the southwest side of Halston, but we were out there.
Okay, bye-bye. Southwest side of Halston. I can't just get him like, you got to get in on me. Uh-huh, okay. Al Stone.
Hey, Happy New Year's, Ms. Tillman.
Happy New Year to you.
This week on WVN, WVON, the mayor came in and talked really high regard to you and stuff. I think he's trying to reach out to you, and he's listening every Saturday.
Oh, he know my number. I mean, I don't have – see, you got to understand about nonviolence. The third principle of nonviolence that you fight the injustice, not the person. Because when you, if you fight the person, then you can't have reconciliation. You know, the first step of nonviolence is to gather your information. The third principle is to fight the injustice, not the person. Because if you fight the person, you can't get the, you're just going to just change persons. So you fight the injustice. I don't have anything personal against the mayor. I know, I don't have that. But any injustice, I'm going to fight. And the last step of nonviolent reconciliation, you can't have reconciliation if you bashing the person. So, I'm going to talk to Jason, but I mean, he can't. What else can he say but something nice about me? I don't need nobody making up nothing nice about me because
It shocked the crowd, too.
Huh?
It really shocked people. It kind of shocked people. It took me back,
why?
Too. I'm like, wow.
Because he ain't nothing else he can say. I mean, I don't. He know. He understand that I deal with the principle of nonviolence. I haven't done anything to him or said anything that was wrong. I don't need nobody making up. What else could he say? And
amen.
I want him to succeed. I don't want him to fail, but I don't want him to ride our backs. Thank you. Now, I don't have it. See, I am a nonviolent scientist. And as we get ready to, and I used to teach nonviolence, and as we get ready to celebrate Dr. King, understand the principles and the steps of nonviolence. And that's why we could meet with anybody after dealing with them, because we always dealt with the injustice that's being done. And right now, People deal with personality. Somebody called me about Pat last week. Like I said, I don't have no problem with her because I don't deal with the person. I would deal with the injustice. She's the alderman, and she, when I need anything for that ward, I call. You have to deal with the injustice, not the person. Because if you deal with the person, then you just change those people, and that's what they got us doing. So I don't know nothing else he could have said. I can't think of anything. I don't have anything personal against the mayor. If he's wrong, he's wrong. If he's right, I'll be the first one hollering for him. Jacob.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I got to get you this New Year. You got 30 seconds, Jacob, because you ain't going to mess up my New Year.
All right. Man, 30 seconds. You took a minute to just, you know, I love you and I respect you. Why you do me like that? But look here. Because I ain't talked to you in a minute. It's been a minute.
Praise God. You know, praise right God that you didn't.
My God.
Go on. I always get you on. I'm not going to. I always let you come on, though, Jacob.
I know we disagree. I think we disagree sometimes on some things, but you know, like, you know what I mean? I've listened to you and I haven't been calling, but like last week, you know, you was talking about the Anglo-Saxons, like they deserve, they're going to get, but like you hung up on Anita, I think they're going to get what they deserve. You can love it, whatever.
Well,
and get in that Bible.
Anita. I didn't hang up. I thought she hung up. Maybe it was an accident from my board. I didn't hang up. Okay, go on.
But look here. What that word said, my people, everybody is not his people, and my people who are called by my name, and it's not Christian, will humble themselves.
Jacob, shut up. I ain't going to let you do that. What do you do every day, Jacob? What are you doing? You humble, so what are you doing? Are you being healed?
What I'm doing right now is trying to educate my people, letting them know they're the chosen people of the earth.
And
it ain't got nothing to do with going to no church.
I'm going to hang up on you, Jacob. I love you, Jacob. I'm not going to let Jacob come in and bash Christianity and bash that. You know, I don't mind folks having a position on something, but in your position, you got to work. You know, you got to. I don't believe Muhammad had a position. I wasn't necessarily in his position. I understood what he was doing about economics. Same with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. They have positions and stuff, but at least they be working. You know, do something. Please. Travis?
Hey, how's it going there? Happy New Year, Alderman Tillman.
Happy New Year to you too, my brother.
Yes, I have a problem. My son was fired from a police academy. He worked there 2 weeks. They claimed he was a gangbanger, a black male graduate of Northern Illinois University.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in September.
What about that black superintendent we got over there? Did you talk to him?
Well, I tried to get a hold of him. He got a lot of handlers around him, you know what I mean? I talked to him and briefly, and then I still can't get a hold of him.
And your son, they say he's a gangbanger, but yet they letting these other folks who they finding out doing drugs and everything else from other countries on the police force.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they won't even reveal any information. They say they don't have to disclose anything. They fired them, and then they want to hire some immigrants. That doesn't make any sense.
Get you a lawyer. Don't make no sense. Now, these are the times when I miss folks like Lou Myers and all of them. We had lawyers that really fought. That doesn't make any sense.
A lot of these lawyers don't even want to take these type of cases right now. They just want to go along and get along.
They're scared. But don't you give up. You need to
I'm
call.
Not gonna give up, sister.
You need to call somebody and make it public so they can know I'm talking about it. But you gotta call one of the stations and call CBS somebody and take what it is. So they take what it is and say this is what it is. They're gonna hire illegal immigrants. They don't know what they came over here for and what they do.
Yeah, I know they don't do any background check, no vetting, no anything.
With them coming over, they're not doing that. People getting sick, and they don't know why people are getting sick. They're bringing diseases that we have. I played it last week. All the diseases, tuberculosis and everything that we're getting that people are bringing over here. I said, it don't make any sense. They're getting everything. It makes no sense. It's not right. But they use black folks as a shield to get what they want. Then they spit on you when they move. That don't make no sense.
They basically put them in different apartments and everything, and they paying them 6 months in advance. They've been doing that for all of the immigrants.
Look, what I don't understand, Travis, is how these folks walk around with iPhones. I had we was giving out some toys at the Harold Washington Winter Wonderland about a couple of weeks ago for Christmas, and I told people how this lady said she from Venezuela. When they gave her the toy, I don't want that, and she had already given a little girl had been in line 3 times. And they said, well, I'm from Venezuela. I want that, and she got very. She had to be walked out. Everybody had to walk her out. and she had a brand new iPhone, and I knew two people that were sitting up in that theater whose phone was off because they told me it was off. Who's giving them some iPhones? It makes no sense, Travis.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Don't you give up on this. You keep me apprised of what's going on. Let me know what's going on with this, and you should take it to another level.
Okay, no problem. Thank you very much.
Okay, and everybody listening, you call the superintendent, he should listen to you. It makes no sense.
I know. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I want his secretary. Maybe you need to go lay down into the police station like they doing. Just joking. Okay, Travis. Bye-bye, Travis. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a great day.
God bless you, too. Good morning, Mama D.
Oh, okay. Good morning. Hallelujah. Greetings to you.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor has confused reparations with fighting crime. They are totally different things.
But it ain't really doing no reparation. It's really just it's an emotional thing.
But he does not know what reparations is. It's to make a people whole, exempt status, cultural rights, sovereignty, land, and money. That's what reparations is about. He went on Fox News and got it all confused.
Well,
it was ridiculous.
Well,
it's not reparations to stop no hijacking of cars.
It's repairing the damage. Let me tell you something. Mama D, I asked last week, I wish he would look at the slave era disclosure ordinance, and I want to know who is enforcing that law, because it is a law, and you do have a lot of companies that's getting money from the government. And from Illinois, from Chicago, and have they disclosed whether their predecessors had anything to do with slavery? No.
That Obama Center, since Obama had slavery trials, and that is a private foundation instead of a library, it needs to start with checking his roots out and his slavery holdings.
Well,
anyway,
I think, the city, the slavery disclosure ordinance.
Wait,
Mama D, I wrote the ordinance. The slavery disclosure ordinance said that anybody that does business with the city of Chicago have to go all the way down to where they predecessor. That's why we would say to take the billions of dollars from the Lehman Brothers contract. And that's why J.P. Morgan Chase had to come clean. But I don't know.
I am saying Barack Obama has a private foundation, which is different from a public library, and that his slavery ties needs to be examined. I know what your audience, your ordinance says,
This is not a library; it's a center. The library that's in there. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help the audience, Mama D. It's not a library; it's Obama Center. The library that's in there is one of the City of Chicago library. So it won't be a library like Reagan or Bush or all of them. I want the audience to know, not for your edification, for the audience.
The basic things that they need to know is that it is a private foundation.
They heard you. Okay, thank you, Mama.
And that is why. But I wanted to say January 15th is the 40th anniversary of Humanitarian Day. White Colors Vision reaffirms the principles of human and civil rights. It's one of the days of respect for all those that challenge the system of white supremacy practices, regardless to their race. Now, as founding president of Global Committee Commemorating King Days, we are inviting everybody that have not overcome that heart and mind.
I'm going to let you go in a minute, Mama D.
Years.
Get the information where they got to come.
1954 to 2000.
Give them an address where to come, Mama D, because my board is lit up.
It's 70 years, and we're Jim Crow genocide survivors, have not overcome that hard mind.
Are you having something you want to come to? You said you had something going on?
Yes, we're having all these survivors of Jim Crow genocide. They were 6 years old in 1954. They're 76 years old now, and we want them to share their experience at Reverend Brooks's church from 2 p.m. on January 15th, Humanitarian Day.
Okay, thank you. Reverend Brooks, I'm going to have him on one day to talk about what he's doing. He's doing a lot. Folks get mad at him, but he's doing a lot, and he's building. It don't matter who's in. It's our resources. We got to keep eyes on the prize. We got to hold on, keep our eyes on the prize. I ain't got but a few minutes, y'all. I'm going to try to empty my board, but keep your eyes on the prize. Reverend Brooks, I'm going to try to get him on. I saw him on Fox the other day. He raised enough money on Fox to build that center over there for black folks and folks talking stuff. we got to keep our eyes on the prize as we move toward. That's the honey and the sweet honey and the rock, y'all. They said David Miller from the Defender. Y'all remember David Miller? He passed December 31st. David. I remember David. David also worked for Budweiser, I think. Keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize is education and economics, preserving our future generation. We got our eyes off the prize, y'all. And our God, we can never. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. Okay, y'all, that's Sweet Honey in the Rocks. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. We've taken our eyes off the prize. As Dr. King said, my Dougie Gucci, we're going to get there. What we're looking at, our future, our generation, what we're going to do as a people, you know, content of character, what we're going to do. And Minister Plump, what you got to say there?
We are on Yah Shalom. Everybody can go to update Robert Plump Facebook page. The kickoff for the Million Man March 2024, we're in the dough. And
okay.
The kickoff of the Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington's 102 Earth Day birthday
on the 15th of April.
Celebration, April 15th.
Well, you got time to announce that later now, Plump.
Happy New Year. It's our time now. And as a people, for more information, call Minister Plump at 312-882-5935.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless
Thank
you, too. Cliff, don't bring me no mess. I'm hang up on you. How you doing?
Ms. Dorothy, thank you so much for finally taking my call.
I'm
going to
take your
hey,
call.
Listen.
I just ain't going to take your mess.
Okay.
I
understand.
I love you
listen,
anyway.
Hey, listen, I was so proud of you, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I saw a clip. He mentioned your name during one of his services. And then also that round table with Tavis Smiley.
Mm-hmm.
It was something else. So I give you the utmost respect. You something else. Hey, but listen, just want your honest opinion, though. And you can hang up.
You know I'll hang up on you. I don't know why you be coming with this off-the-wall stuff.
Okay. I know this might be off the wall. But if those were black people on January 6th, just your opinion, what do you think would have happened?
What you talking about? That mess, I said I need you to go look at all the clips and see what went on. And, you know, I'm not going to get caught up in that when he got all these folks coming across the border. It ain't got nothing to do with color. It's always content of character, okay?
Okay.
We deal with character. Sure. Thank you so much. See, I'm not going to get off. He always called in. Is that call for me or for the next person? Okay. All right. I tell you, I've had a good time today. I want to thank y'all for listening to me. And I want y'all to just really be quiet for a moment. Hold on to your dream. We're going to play Hold On To Your Dream real softly. I want y'all to be quiet and be tranquil and listen to God for a moment because God's going to direct us out of this. We got to. If people my age, you know, I'll be 77 in May. And people my age and people who've been out here a long time, we understand what it is, how we lived and what we did. But we also understand God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. We have got every ethnic group or race look out for the future. And ask your question, what are we doing for the future of our children? If they don't have education, economics, a place to call their own, it's over. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to allow children to come and they can't do nothing, don't know nothing? Just a handful do? Education is important. They got to hold on to their dream. I don't know what happened to the Jackie Robinson group. They grown now. But remember how they just, the one white man said something and they got rid of them and the black folks who was running you over to get to him ran and hid. We need more courage. We need hold on to your dream.
Life is hard and so unfair.
Bring it up a little bit.
Unless you believe that someone cares. Someone who's there, rain or shine, sharing your dreams, your heart and your mind.
Hold on. We gotta let them dream. Dream, you gotta have a vision. They said God don't give you a vision without provision.
And love is God.
Andre, that one's for you, my brother. The one from Robert Taylor.
Straight ahead, though the road be hard to tread. Yeah, what you get is what you do, and you'll find
love is stronger than hate. You gotta give them a dream. How can you dream? You don't wanna might not make it. I can't learn. Jesus love a little children. Yeah.
Sometimes this world can get you down.
Yeah, so no.
Just don't give up.
Don't dismay.
Don't dismay.
It's up to us, y'all.
What goes around?
Comes around.
Yeah. Just fails to shine. Dreams are the sunshine.
Hey, we need sunshine of the mind.
Hold on.
Hold on. We gotta tell them.
Yeah.
Dreams are the wings of the mind. We must let them fly. We gotta let them fly until next week. Dorsey, Wright Tillman saying in 2024, repair the damage. Repair the damage. Restoration means repair the damage. Reparation now. Part of the damage to making sure that we take care of our children in education. So next week, y'all, call for the conversation with me. Go at the Wright Tillman saying repair that damage. Education and economics. Don't let us enslave our minds right now. Don't let them fool us. My son wrote that song. That's my son, Demon G. Tillman. He wrote that for his mama when I was working on that Orton. Hey, until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman. We'll see you next week right here at the great WVON. Call for you in the conversation with you. See y'all next week.
And brutality in this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. With father.
All that noise and beeped out cursing and video showing the incredible leap across the bench, grabbing the judge by the head, D'Abra Redding, a black man with multiple felonies, just about to be sentenced in a Las Vegas courtroom. Judge Kay Holthus said this, and Redding, who's been in prison and didn't want to go back, knew where this was going.
But I think it's time that he gets a taste of something else, because I just can't with that history.